bring in Scott Petrak with the Chronicle Telegram and BrownsZone.com to talk Browns. Scott, as always, we appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
So far, so good. And let's begin with the festivities back on Monday. You know, I think there are some guys that can just immediately win you over and win the press conference. What that means, I don't really know. It means nothing if you can't win games on the field. But, you know, what were your biggest takeaways from Monday's press conference?
You know, I think it was that Freddie is going to be Freddie. And, you know, he didn't wear the orange dog pound hoodie that he likes to wear on the sideline, and I kind of led one of my stories with that. He wanted to, but the PR guy talked him out of it. He still wore a baseball cap, you know, to go with the sport coat and tie. But he just talked about how this is probably the one job he could get in the NFL, and he knows he doesn't have to act like somebody else because these guys already know him. The owners know him. The GM knows him. The players know him. And they like him. And, you know, I think if you're around Freddie, and not that I've been around him a bunch, but, you know, the last 8 weeks we talked to him every week, and then I wrote a story about him, so I talked to him for that, and I talked to his wife and people that know him. He just feels like, and I don't have any reason to believe, that he's not a genuine guy, and I think that really showed through Monday in the press conference.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I think he seemed pretty down to earth. And, you know, again, you could win the press conference, and I think that's great for the next few months. I guess that's my next question. You know, how long does this honeymoon last? Because as we talked about last week, what's going to be different with Freddie Kitchens than just about any other head coach that they've brought in here over the course of the last 15 to 20 years is that that honeymoon period is going to be awfully short simply because the expectations are just different this time around.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, for a coach, the honeymoon probably lasts until he screws up a timeout or a challenge in preseason. And maybe he gets a slide there, but then if it happens week one, people will start to pay attention to that. You know, it's different than a GM who's got free agency in the draft before the season. You know, Freddie's not responsible for any of that. So unless he says something really stupid in the media, you know, I think he's probably in the clear until we get to September. But then, you know, everybody will have the microscope on him. And like you said, it's going to be important. His decisions will have more magnitude to them than Hugh Jackson in his first year or Rob Jedinski or Mike Pettine, because nobody thought those guys should come in and win right away. And that's where Freddie's is different. He's got a quarterback. He's got a talented roster. They went 7-8-1. Like, the expectation is for them to be competing for the AFC North title next year, which means you can't mess up timeouts, you can't mess up challenges, you know, you can't mess up critical play calls. You know, he got cute sometimes this year, and it didn't really matter, and it didn't come back to haunt him. You try a halfback option at the wrong time, and it's an interception, people are going to be all over Freddie. So I do think there's expectations, but that's one of the other things from this press conference. He welcomes those, and you know, he was the one talking about Super Bowl and how that's the only thing that counts. And if we're happy with 7-8-1, that's never going to be acceptable. So he's got the right frame of mind.
How important is it that he goes out and gets a couple of veteran guys at the D.C. and O.C. as well, and Todd Monken and Steve Wilks, and even reaching up to Canada to bring in, what is it, Chris Jones from Saskatchewan?
Yeah, I think it's really, really important. You go through his whole staff. You know, you mentioned Chris Jones, who's been a coach and a GM in the CFL. Mm-hmm. Steve Wilks, head coach, defensive coordinator. Al Holmcomb has been a DC. You know, the guy they got yesterday from Alabama, he was the DC at Alabama. James Campen, the offensive line coach from Green Bay. And that's a, you know, if you talk about which position coaches matter the most, I think you can argue quarterback coach. And they got Ryan Lindley, who has a good relationship with Baker. And then Freddie will spend plenty of time with Baker, and then it's offensive line coach. And James Campen had six Pro Bowlers in his time in Green Bay, really well respected up there. So that's a big hire, because so much of that position is fundamentals and technique and cohesion. And you got veteran guys, but you also need a coach. So I think he, with help from John Dorsey, could put together a really strong staff to this point.
Again, we're talking Browns with Scott Petrak of the Chronicle Telegram and BrownsZone.com. He's our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. I want to spend a minute here, Scott, on the relationship between Freddie Kitchens and Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator, because as Freddie made it well known on Monday, he is going to call the plays. And I don't think anybody expected that he wouldn't call the plays. But, you know, a question that always comes to mind when you think about that dynamic is, if the head coach is calling the plays, what role on game day, anyways, does the offensive coordinator have?
Yeah, that's a good question. And going back to the previous question, the reason these hires are so important is because Freddie's a first-time head coach at any level. And if he's going to call plays, which he is, then you need support on the sideline. You need somebody helping you with, when do I call a timeout? When do I throw a challenge? Like, do I punt or kick a field goal or go for it on fourth down? And he's going to have a lot going on in his mind, and that's why he needs guys who've been in that position before. And so that's why all these guys are important. Stump Mitchell has been a head coach before. Todd Monken has been a head coach in college before for Southern Miss. So all these guys lend its needed experience to the staff. And then in particular, you know, I think it speaks to Freddie's personality. I think it speaks to what people expect this team to be next year, because if they're good, then people are going to want to hire your coaches. And it speaks to Baker Mayfield, because if Todd Monken's working with Baker Mayfield, his name's going to be out there a lot. So while it's not nearly as an attractive a job as offensive coordinator when you don't get to call the plays, it's still somewhat attractive because you have that title for a team expected to be on the rise with a quarterback that people expect to be really good next year. And therefore, Todd Monken's name will be out there. It'll look good. And he came close to getting that Jets job this year. So he could be a guy that's only here for a year or two and then moves on to get a head coaching job. But for him even to consider taking this job when he doesn't get to call plays, I think it speaks to how Freddie can draw people.
How different does that make Freddie Kitchen's job than what he was doing while he was the interim offensive coordinator? He was calling plays then as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, from a coordinator standpoint, it doesn't. Now he's got more help. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're going to, you know, Todd Monken had some air raid experience when he was at Oklahoma State. And I think you'll see more of that incorporated into, you know, it was Todd Haley's offense that Freddie was running for the second half of the season. So you'll see a compilation. I think you'll see a different offense with the same terminology or different aspects to the offense. And then on game day, Freddie will still call it just like he did for the final eight games. What's different is all those other decisions you have to make, which, you know, it doesn't just stop when, you know, the other team has the ball, because then he has to decide, you know, do we call timeout sooner on defense? You know, you should have some input there, like, hey, we want to blitz here, or we want to do this. You know, there's things you have to be involved as head coach. It's not just, all right, I have to talk to my quarterback and I have to think about what plays I'm calling next. That's where Monken will be really useful, because he can kind of handle that operation while the defense is on the field and Freddie's paying attention to that.
How much do you think the hiring of Wilkes as the defensive coordinator had to do with the idea that he really wasn't given a fair shake in Arizona? Because by all accounts, there aren't many coaches on the face of this earth that could have really done a whole lot more than what he did in a single season, albeit mostly with a rookie quarterback. He didn't exactly inherit the best roster. You get the idea, and you mentioned a lot of these same things with the offensive coordinator, Todd Monken. You get the feeling that there are a lot of same elements at play here with Wilkes, too, simply because he is really motivated to do a nice job here, knowing that he didn't get a fair crack his first go around as a head coach. And if he does well enough here, that second opportunity is eventually going to come.
Yeah, that's probably true. You know, when you're looking at coordinator jobs, I think you're looking for a team that's going to have some success. And that's the belief around the Browns, at least. So I think that plays a part into it. You know, Freddie spent so much time in Arizona before he came to the Browns, I think it was 11 seasons prior, that I'm sure he heard good things about Steve Wilkes. You know, he had a good run. It was only 1 year, but he had a good year as coordinator in Carolina. So I think just all that experience you can add. And then, yes, I think, plus Steve Wilkes runs a 4-3. He's inheriting personnel that's already suited for the 4-3. I think it was just an attractive job. I think there's an attraction on both sides. It just feels like a really good fit.
Scott, what would you say, now that this coaching staff is almost 100% complete, what's the biggest challenge facing this staff? Is it the expectations, because, again, they're so wildly different than every other regime that's come before them, or is there a different challenge facing them?
That's a good question. I would say, I mean, I'd say the expectations from a really big picture perspective, But outside of that, you know, this is a lot. There's a lot of turnover. I mean, we don't have the final staff, but we might only have, you know, three, four, five guys left over from the staff last year. So then these guys have to learn to work together. Freddie and Todd Monken have to reconfigure that playbook, you know, and that's going to take a big chunk of the offseason. And then Steve Wilks is going to have to get used to the personnel on that side of the ball. And, you know, while Greg Williams had a, you know, personality that could rub some people the wrong way, the guys are used to him. So they're going to have to not win over the players, but make a good impression and get those guys comfortable quickly, because even though it's a 4-3, there will be tweaks and changes that these guys are going to have to get used to on that side of the ball.
And I guess moving forward now, since most of the coaching staff is in place, and as you mentioned, still maybe a couple of guys to add, who or what do you think needs to be addressed first through the draft or free agency from a personnel perspective?
Sure. Well, you know, we hit free agency first, and, you know, that means trades are possible too. And just watching John Dorsey last year, you got to pay attention to trades, because those were the first three big moves he made last year, were the, you know, the trades for Tyrod Taylor, Jarvis Landry, and Demaryius Randle. So having said that, I think you're looking at veterans that they could acquire, and I think the positions I would target, they start with the defensive line. And I think you need a veteran defensive end to complement Myles Garrett, and who Myles Garrett can learn from. Emmanuel Agba wasn't what he needed to be this year, so I think you have to bolster that position. And there's guys out there, or there could be guys out there. Dee Ford is in the last year of his contract. Jadeveon Clowney. Brandon Graham from Philly. And he kind of intrigues me, because you're not going to have to pay nearly as much as you would with a Clowney or Ford, even if they, you know, who knows if they get tagged or re-signed by their team. I think Graham becomes available, and I think he's 31, and he'd be a good guy to bring in. You don't have to play him a bunch, but his presence around the young guys, Garrett, Avery, Agba, Chad Thomas, I think that kind of guy would be really important. And then you look at D-tackles. You got to decide if you want to address that in the draft or free agency. And then a receiver. I think those are the three positions that jump out at me that, okay, let's get a guy at those three spots, and then we can kind of pick and choose the rest of the roster.
Scott, before we let you go, and I know this is probably a question that you've answered before, and, you know, some people look at it as kind of silly, although I do think it's appropriate. How much of a say-so do you think Baker Mayfield had in this whole ordeal? Because there were reports that surfaced that, you know, he was kind of FaceTimed in on some of these meetings or these interviews, and some people that think that's kind of hogwash. Some people think it was 100% appropriate, because when you take over a team like this, a franchise that has been starving for a quarterback, now feels like they've really got one. How much influence do you think he had in this process?
Well, first of all, I think that, well, I know that report was kind of walked back. So I don't believe he FaceTimed. And I think that's good that he did not FaceTime in. Because your one guy should not have that much say on a coaching hire, let alone a rookie. So while I know that John Dorsey took into account what Freddie did the last eight games and his relationship with Baker and how Baker played better under Freddie, I think that's what he took into consideration, not would Baker be happy or upset with this hire. And I think that's the way it should be. So it'd be foolish to say Baker had no influence on the hire, but I don't think he was involved in the process at all. I think it was just knowing that Baker would accept Freddie because they got along so well in the last 18.
Fair enough. Well, looking forward to the weekend, my friend. You have any strong feelings on who's going to the Super Bowl? Who do you have on Sunday?
I tell you what, I'm going back and forth and back and forth. Right now, and don't hold me to this, and I'm going to think about it and I'll tweet it out Sunday morning, but right now I'm thinking the Chiefs. I think we're going to see a ton of points, and the Chiefs figure out a way to get it done. I just think they have more talented skill position players, although their defense really concerns me, and Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, obviously concern me. But I'm going to go with the Chiefs. And then at the NFC, I was going to say New Orleans the whole time. They were my pick once the playoffs started.
Wow.
But the way the Rams ran the ball against Dallas scares me and makes me think that they can win the battle up front. And not only on that side of the ball, but if you flip it with Donald and Sue and Brockers on that line, something tells me, at least how I'm thinking about it right now, that LA's going to go in there and win the game.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
See, here's why I think that's really interesting, because a lot of people would tell you that the Patriot dynasty began when they upset the Rams, the Super Bowl immediately after 9/11. How fitting would it be if the Rams beat them this time around and kind of ended that Patriot dynasty?
I'd be great with that. I'll tell you what, I think we're going to get a good matchup regardless. You know, whichever two teams make it, I think we're going to get a real good game.
Should be interesting. Looking forward to it on Sunday. Scott, as always, we appreciate the time, and we'll do it again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Scott. Again, Scott Petrak. You can find his work at brownzone.com. Also with the Chronicle Telegram and the Medina Gazette. Make sure you check out brownzone.com. Scott's got you covered there from all angles, news, analysis, in-depth features, all that good stuff. And